korkun korku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
What's up, people? It's the Brother M.A. Roasted Podcast. Today I'm here with Vince Fischel, one of my favorite people. We got a great show today. We're waiting for Ween Dog, who I guess before the show you said you got to talk shit to him, as well as Gilbert Burns says he's coming on at 12:30. He said he's definitely coming on. We're basically doing the show because of Gilbert Burns and you, because my wife's mom's in town to watch the baby, although that's not really been working that well. So I'm still watching the baby, but she's actually helping a lot. So I'm like, you know what? Let's take advantage of this because I don't usually have that kind of help, you know?
Yeah, especially younger kids, man, when they're crazy.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I'm like, let's do as many podcasts as possible this week. People are saying that I'm the MVP so far of, you know, of this. Look, we don't have the most fans, but we have the best fans. We have the most loyal fans. And that's, you know what? That's all you need. Because I've been in my career, I've been in high school and college where I've been really popular at times, and then they've all just went away. And I'd rather have some loyal people that are with you through up and down, up and down. People that then other people just want to just like find the next big thing, and then they're just gone. Like, yeah, fuck that.
I 100% agree with you, man. I'd much rather have quality over quantity.
Just in general, and you know, I mean, look, we do better than, like, I would say majority. We're in the upper echelon of people, because, you know, people sometimes go, oh, your YouTube numbers. Yeah, but you don't understand. Like, we just started being on YouTube. I still have the SoundCloud numbers and the iTunes numbers and this number. Like, there's a lot of numbers that people aren't seeing, or we get a lot of people. But it doesn't matter anymore, because I'd rather have, like, loyal people that actually want to hear it than people that are just like, oh, look, shiny object, and they fucking go away. And that's in general, people. That's just in everything. Look, I mean, look, you can get a lot of chicks, but there's a lot of guys out there lonely as hell who had a lot of one-night stands. But, you know, you're better off getting one quality chick or two quality girls, like, throughout your life, or three or five, in my opinion, than a bunch of people that only care because you have money, or you're this or that, or you're hot. And, you know, look, the Spice Girls sold a lot more albums than, I don't know, Stevie Ray Vai. But I think Stevie Ray Vai is a lot better of a musician. Anyway, so that being said, maybe that's not the best example, but here we are. Vince Fischel. So why are you mad at Ween Dog? What happened?
Oh my god, this little fucker, dude. I wanted to talk shit to him, so, because I don't want to get too involved in it, but I'm on Twitch and I'm streaming and I'm playing GTA, right? I'm doing my thing.
Could you get your volume up, by the way?
Oh yeah, hold on, sorry, my bad. How am I now? Is that better?
Yeah, much better. Yeah.
So I'm streaming, I'm playing GTA, I'm doing my thing, you know, my normal thing that I typically do. And Ween Dog comes in there and he basically goes in there, self-promotes himself, and then skips out.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So I'm responding. I'm like, fucking Ween Dog. I'm like, dude, you know, that's kind of shit that gets your fucking ass beat, right? Like, so I'm like talking to him for like a good 5-10 minutes. And then I check and I realize he's not even in my fucking chat anymore.
Oh.
So I'm like, this fucking douche. So I go and I go to him and he's streaming coincidentally. And he's playing like, I don't know what game he's playing, but I can't remember the name of it. He's playing League of Legends, which is like a total fucking nerd game, right? Like, it's an okay game. It's a pretty cool game. A lot of people like it, but I just, not my kind of shit, right?
Right.
So I go in there and I wanted to start talking shit, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm not gonna do what he did. You know what I mean? And then fucking play tit for tat with this motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I just said whatever. I showed my stream. I'm like, look, this is the fucking asshole that does shit like that. You know what I mean? And not to, like, wow, talk shit, but he had one person watching, which was probably him. So yeah. I was like, this is the kind of fucking people that do this kind of shit, right? So it pissed me off because I'm like, I expect that from, like, all the other fake friend streamers, right? That come in, yeah, and like, oh, hey, what's up, right? Because I'm a fighter. So a lot of people come on my stream and we're friends, you know what I mean? They fucking, right, act like this or that. But I don't expect that from him. So when he did it, it pissed me off and I fucking banned him from my chat. So
wow.
He can watch my stream, but he's fucking banned, so he can't chat.
Wow. Look at that. Shots fired.
Yeah, but I wanted to, like, tell him, like, what the fuck, man? Like, who does, like
you
that?
Believe that, Violet? Can you believe Ween Dog did that?
Yeah, isn't that messed up, Violet? I'm sorry for cursing. You don't deserve that, but he made me mad. I'm sorry.
What? You can take her. Yeah, I'm sure she would like that. Now, Do you think he knows the etiquette, or
he knows the fucking etiquette. Oops, sorry, I did it again. Yes, he knows the etiquette. He's been streaming longer than me, right? And when I first started streaming and playing, I was actually playing some games with him. But then, he kind of fell off, and I'm not sure what happened in his life, but he stopped streaming for a bit or doing his own thing. I'm not sure.
Vince, you're one of the best fighters in the world right now. Do you think this is
what thanks.
You think you should be focused on Ween Dog on your Twitch?
But that's why I didn't want to get too involved in it. I just wanted to tell him, like, listen, man, you know better than do that. Next time I see you, I'm going to smack you. Don't be a fucking prick. You know what I mean? I was going
to
leave it at that.
He offered to help train you for your next fight. That did not happen. And then you said you can come and get the shit beaten out of you. But
if that's what he wants, I mean, it's on him.
Did that really happen? Did he really offer to train you?
Yeah, on the last podcast he did. Remember he said he'd offer to be my training partner and train me? I'm like, oh, my God. I've actually had coaches and people who have held mitts for me one time.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say his name, but when I fought Njaquani, that happened to me. There was this guy who came, he came out there to Vegas, not with me and my coaches, but he came out there to support, you know, and watch the fight and whatnot. But after the fight happened, he was basically telling people, oh, I trained him for this fight. I held mitts for him. And this guy, he held mitts for me one fucking time. Right. And it was literally for 10 minutes. And it was a good mitt session, right? I'm not gonna deny that. It was a good mitt session. Like, he's a good mitt holder.
But he can't claim to be your coach.
Yeah, he's trying to take precedence over Petey, who's my kickboxing coach.
Wait a minute. Somebody, you know what? Ween Dog wasn't gonna be on the podcast today, all of a sudden I said, hey, Vince is He said Vince is talking shit about you, and now he's showing up. So I think I have a problem with that too. He wasn't gonna be on the podcast until he knew he was getting, you know, there's a lot of Ween Dog action going on here.
I know. His fucking ears must have been burning.
I have to say that Ween Dog has been stepping up, doing a great job designing the covers to the podcast. He does a great job with the podcast, and I happen to love the guy. So that being said, this is actually pretty funny, though. Ween Dog, dude.
What?
I'm not hearing good things about you, bro.
What do you mean? Who's talking shit?
Vince.
I am. Let me just say it, Adam.
All right,
Ween Dog, bro. When you came to my chat yesterday and you did what you fucking did, why'd you do that, bro? I expect that from these fake friend streamers, but I don't expect that kind of shit from you, bro. And honestly, if you ever do that again, and I see you, I'm probably gonna smack the shit out of you, bro. Like,
we both know that I would win in a fight if we got into a fight in the street. We both know that I would be the dominant one. I'm a much larger human being. I got at least 3 inches on you. I have a longer reach.
Listen. I know you think this is funny, but I'm being actually kind of serious right now. I'm probably gonna smack the shit out of you if you ever fucking do that again, bro. Like, I love you and I think you're a cool fucking dude. I like you, but if you do stupid shit like that, I'm gonna fucking treat you like a stupid asshole, bro.
What did I do?
You know exactly what you fucking did. What'd you do in my chat the other day? What happened in my chat yesterday?
I don't know. You tell me. I wasn't there.
You came in my fucking chat, self-promoted, and then fucking ditched out, you piece of shit. Don't fucking play dumb games with me, bro. Now you're making me mad.
I don't even know what you're talking about, dude.
Do you want me to clip it and show it right fucking now, you faggot?
Yeah, let me see it. Let me see it.
Oh, my God, dude.
I have no idea what this guy is talking about.
Must have bumped your fucking head really hard, bro. You must.
I might have bumped my head a couple times, all right? I might have bumped my head a couple times.
My chat's talking shit about you right now because they were there, too.
Wow. How many people are in this chat talking about Ween Dog?
I got five people in right now.
Okay. So Ween Dog, he says that you came, promoted your show, and then left. And that's like, in Twitch world, that's not cool.
Listen, I stream on Twitch maybe like 2 times a year for about like 15 minutes at a time. Right. I don't know what Vince is talking about. I would never violate the rules like that. I would never disrespect another Twitch streamer. You know, that's just not in my... I'm not some Antifa piece of shit that would do that. I'm a red-blooded Republican American of the United States of America. I support our president, Donald J. Trump.
No, Ween Dog, you're a great guy. Do you think maybe you thought you and Vince are good enough friends where you could do that and he wouldn't get mad, honestly?
Yeah, but I'm not admitting to doing it, but I do look at Vince as like a brother figure. You know, I respect him a lot. I do look at him as a brother. Sometimes a father. I mean, he's almost 40.
Ween Dog's 23 years old. He probably figures that you're a good friend of his. He loves you, and that, you know, sometimes friends, like, they borrow stuff and don't return it, or, you know, they take advantage of their friends because they're friends. So I could see where he's coming from, where he figured, yeah, it is annoying, but
that's why I'm like, it's not a big deal. I just want to tell him, like, that's not cool what you did, right? But then now he's downplaying, he's trying to deny it, which my chat right now is fucking being like, I've seen it, right? Like, there's people in my chat right now saying, I fucking seen it, that were there. So, like, don't fucking play these games unless you have someone else that's running your fucking stream while you're streaming doing that kind of bullshit. That's not cool either, because they should know better. You should tell them to know better.
I'll send a message out to my staff. Yeah.
Exactly. Right now, you're fucking pissing me off, bro. Like,
so, Weedug, listen. Vince is a guy, you know, he's a stand-up guy, okay?
Yeah, I agree, right? Yeah. So
Vince is a guy, he's a no-bullshit guy. He's a guy that will tell you to your face whether he likes you or don't. Let's just admit, okay, look, I make mistakes, Vince makes mistakes, everyone makes mistakes. Let's just admit that you did it, right?
Well, I'll admit when there's proof. I'm innocent until proven guilty, all right? I'm innocent until proven guilty. Maybe I did this. Maybe I didn't. You know, I'm a lawful citizen. I obey the law. And if I broke the law and it's proven that I broke it, I will admit to it 100%.
Weedo, you're making this worse.
What do you mean?
Vince, we can't hear you. Okay.
Oh, that's so much. OJ Simpson killed Nicole Aniston.
Yeah.
Nicole Aniston.
I hope he didn't kill Nicole Aniston. Did he kill? Yes, of course he did. Everyone knows that.
But he was proven innocent, you know. We can have a bunch of people out there saying that I did this, that I'm the one, the glove doesn't fit, whatever you want to say. But I'm going to be proven innocent. I swear to God. I'm waiting for the proof to come out. Let's hear it.
But Vince, do you have the proof?
I'm looking right now, but for some reason, my chat is not popping up when I go back in my stream. Like, none of my chat is popping up, which is kind of odd.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Listen, bro, there's fucking people in my chat that saw you do it. You basically promoted yourself, said, fucking follow the wing dog, fuck this guy, and you dipped out, all right? And if you're going to try to fucking deny it, then fuck you next time I see him smacking the shit out of you. I'm not fucking playing anymore, bro. Vince, come on. I'm not fucking playing anymore. I'm serious right now.
Vince, this is Twitch, bro.
I don't give a fuck. It's not about Twitch. It's about him being disrespectful, bro, and then now trying to fucking play games with it. I'm being fucking serious. I'm going to smack the shit out of you next time I fucking see you, bro.
Vince, you're a pro fighter.
I don't care. I'm still going to smack him. Okay, I found chat now. Okay, my chat's popping up. I'm going to find it right now. You're fucked, bro.
This is not what that pop. Listen, I love both.
Okay, I'm being cool. I'm being cool right now. I'm going to be cool. I'm sorry, but listen, I'm going to pull
it
up.
I don't want to see Weedog get hurt.
Let's just continue, and I'm going to throw this in his face as soon as I find it.
Okay, the kid works too hard to get hurt. All right, so let's talk about some stuff on the podcast. All right, this is not the MMA roaster. All right, so Adam Vincent Ween, let's talk about today. So Cody No Love wants to go to 125 to fight Division Figueroa. I think that's a bad idea for Cody No Love, because the one knock on Cody No Love is his chin, and he looks shredded at 135. At 125, he's going to lose a lot of water. He's going to lose muscle, and I don't know if that – I mean, when has that ever worked where a guy jumps weight classes below where he should be and becomes champion? It usually does not – I mean, it seems to be working the other way. We're like, Cejudo went up. Other guys have went up and won a weight class. I mean, Darren Till's doing – well, he's doing okay at 185, but Gilbert Burns doing better at 185. I don't think going to 125 is a good idea for Cody No Love at all.
Do you think he's just too confident coming off of that win? Because why would you want to go down a weight class when you're already that close to the title shot again, right?
I just think it, yeah. I mean, not only that, but I just honestly think that it's just he's going to be sucked out.
Doesn't make sense for me. That's kind of bad. And who knows if his body can even take that kind of shit, right? Like, can his body even drop that kind of weight?
I mean, like you fighting at 145, that would be like Vince going to, how would you do a 45, Vince?
I mean, I could honestly probably realistically do it if I dieted for a shit ton of fucking time before the fight, but I wouldn't want to do it.
Now, do you think if you cut too much weight, it affects your chin?
Yeah, but I'll say this. I don't think it affects your chin per se, but it does it affects the fluids that you generate in your body, right? You can only drain so much of your body without your body shutting down. And when you drain so much, especially, I'm not sure how he does it, but if he does like a sauna or whatever, or cuts weight, what you do is you start to drain brain fluid, right? Once your body starts draining the fluids from its organs, its natural organs and whatnot, it'll start to take fluid from everywhere else it can, so which will be your brain fluid. And when you see guys get knocked out, they cut a lot of weight, it's because they drain brain fluid out of it by dehydrating themselves, and your brain fluid takes significantly longer to recuperate than water does, so...
But isn't that the same thing? I'm not talking about my actual chin. I'm talking about your ability to take shots. I'm saying you're
– yeah. Yeah, basically. So, but I was just explaining like the process and why that is.
No, right. Of course.
But I mean, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I don't – honestly, I don't think that's too much weight for Cody, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. And Dana wants to make it happen. I mean, right. they're looking to make it happen. Look, I mean, Cody No Love in the UFC perspective is a lot more attractive champion than Division Figueroa. I mean, I don't even know if that guy speaks English. No offense, people don't speak English, but he's not. He doesn't seem like he's that marketable.
Whereas yeah, I don't feel like people would even like to say his name, honestly, because it's so hard for me to say.
Yeah, I don't even know. Right. Whereas Corey Nolove is a marketable guy. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. He's got a good story. He's been on TV before. Guy. Yeah. People like him. He's got a good, you know. So the UFC is probably like, yeah, let's make that fight happen. Sure. I mean, Nolove at 30, at 25 as a champion. Now you have a star. Vince, your sound keeps going on.
I know. I didn't want to talk over you while you were talking.
So also, Ricardo Lamas said that he's fighting Ryan Hall. It got pushed to late August. Lamas said that people are underestimating his ground game. Now, I don't know if he's just saying this to throw off Ryan Hall, but I don't think anybody could fuck with Ryan Hall's ground game.
No. I don't think so either, dude. I don't think so either.
I wish he fought more. I feel like he fights once every 7 years. He's like a mythical creature that just comes out of the woods when like the planets line up and just whoops somebody's ass and then just retreats back in there, you know?
And yeah. I like him because I feel like I'm watching UFC 1 when I see him, of just somebody that just is committed to one style of fighting and nobody can seem to figure this guy out.
Right. It looks like Forrest Griffin with AIDS too. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like him, because he doesn't look, if you saw him on the street, you wouldn't think that dude's a UFC fighter or that dude's a bodybuilder or that dude's an athlete. You just think that dude's just like some homeless guy collecting cans or something, you know?
Yeah. See, Vince, come on, man. You can't get mad at this kid. Look.
I'm not mad. Like, I wasn't mad about it, but then like him denying it would maybe mad.
Well, let's settle this like gentlemen, because I love Vince. I genuinely love Vince Pichel. I love him. I look at him as like a brother figure. We have a lot of the same politics and everything. But
I'm not super upset. I'm just trying to find it right now so I can show you what.
Wean Dog, you did it. Wean Dog, you did it. But you didn't mean that. You didn't do it maliciously. You didn't do it because you're trying to be a dick.
I don't think you did either. That's why I'm like, hey, man, that's not – I just want to say
– Let's settle this like gentlemen. Let's have a gentleman's duel, okay, just like they did in the 1980s, a gentleman's duel.
Joe, he's not fucking with you. He's not that kind of guy right now. Like, I understand that, like, other people would laugh at this, and I laugh at this shit, but Vince is under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
He's obviously in a fucking dark place right now.
I'm not under stress. I'm just a pissed-off person. And
I mean, you read his Facebook thing, he's not – having the greatest time in life right now. He wants to fight.
Adam, now you're trying to piss me off. I'm having a great time.
No, I love you, man. I love you, but I just know that like this is not the guy you want to fuck around with right now. There are guys we can fuck around with. Vince is one of those dudes. Like, you know, sometimes people you just like there are some pit bulls that you pet and then you move on. You know, like you don't go rub their belly and fucking put blankets over their heads and stuff. That's Vince right now. Let's
because Vince is a man. He's a real man. If he has a problem with somebody, Vince is going to solve it. He's going to confront you. He's not going to hide in his closet like I would. I'm not a real man. Vince is a real man. He got a problem. He's going to solve it. He's going to, if you're trying to promote your own Twitch stream, he's going to come up to you and say, you know, what the fuck are you doing? Let's settle this like men. And, you know, just
you're the person he's doing this to, dude.
I know. Well, I'm not a man. I look like I'm still 14 years old. I can't grow facial hair. My dick is 3 inches when it's erect. You know, I got a very – maybe I'm – I don't know. You know what?
All right.
I'm still waiting for the proof.
All right. Okay. Now, Amanda Nunes and Nina Ansaroff, there's a video of her training. Nina's pregnant. Pregnant.
What? She's pregnant?
Yeah, like very pregnant.
And she's trying to fight?
No, but she's training. She's still training.
Oh, my Lord.
But I have questions about this. Like, how does this work? As far as like, they're lesbians. One of them's pregnant. Did a guy impregnate her, or did they put something in there? Like,
what the fuck?
I legitimately don't know. Like how this happened. Like, I know that there's like different ways to get a girl pregnant, obviously, and a girl like, and what you could just put like a tube up there and put this, you know, the egg in. Do we know what happened?
That's how they do it.
Okay, so was it a guy just being like they use like a stunt cock and put a wig on him and then like how?
No, but if that's an actual job, I would like to apply right now.
Are you saying she's not fuckable?
No, I'm saying that like no, the wig on the guy so that she thinks it's a girl. Yeah, like so that she gets off on it.
I think they fertilize the egg, the woman's egg, outside of the body, and then they put it back in the body as a fertilized egg. And then,
oh, okay, all
right. So, I'm completely just making this up right now on the spot. I have no idea how it's actually done.
Vince, do we know how this happened?
I have no idea how it's done. I know there's a such thing as artificial inseminations, and yeah, it goes both ways. But I have no idea how or what if all of that happened to get her pregnant.
Okay, well, somebody would like to educate us. And
maybe some people, even like lesbians and gays, they'll have a surrogate. They can have surrogates that do stuff.
Of course, I know that.
But maybe they just had a sperm donor.
Yeah, right. But I'm wondering, like, exactly, like, if it was. That's funny. All right, so Paige Van Zandt now is, the word is, she's doing bare knuckle boxing. She's met with the bare knuckle boxing people. And they want to, which for them, it's great. That'd be a great poster girl. But I just think that, like, come on. I mean.
Yeah, that's a real bad move.
I mean, why do we want to do this? For Paige, she's got a beautiful face. She makes money on her face. It just seemed like, how much money could they be giving her? And plus, she's good at MMA. I mean, she's an elite fighter. She's not one of the top five, but she's one of the top 10.
Honestly, if all's her, I would just stay at Instagram home and make money that way, like she's been doing, because she makes good money that way.
Yeah, or Bellator, so they're very interested in signing her. Like, do you think, I mean, why would we go to bare knuckle? What does she have to prove? We already know she's tough.
Honestly, if she goes to bare knuckle bucking, she's going to get fucked up. She is going to get fucked up, and she is not going to be pretty anymore. I can almost guarantee you that.
Really? Yes. I mean, but people like Rowdy Beck went there, and she's still pretty. She still has.
Rowdy Beck is a fucking savage. Paige Van Zandt is not. She will get eaten by lions.
Beck knocked out Paige Van Zandt.
Imagine if they fight in bare knuckle fighting.
Yeah.
Paige will get fucking ruined, and that pretty little face of hers will not hold up.
Also in bare knuckle boxing, Phil Baroni is fighting Thiago Alves.
Wait, who is? Phil Baroni fighting Thiago?
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting fight. I really like Thiago. I kind of missed him fighting because I used to love him when he was like a crazy bastard, but that was before USADA, so. That's
I know. Cool. Well, this is
those days are gone.
Well, USADA's gone now. I don't think they test for bare knuckle boxing, USADA. No, I actually know they don't. So what do we think happens here?
I think Alves will kind of beat him. I mean, Phil Brony's going to have his 3 to 4 minutes of gust, you know what I mean, where he's probably going to fuck Alves up. But I think Alves can weather that kind of storm, and then it's, wow, what's Phil Baroni going to do?
I hope Phil Baroni wins, but I don't know, man. I do worry about the guy because I like Phil Baroni a lot.
I do too. I really enjoy him and love his interviews.
You know, he's hilarious. I just think, like, come on. I hope the last bare knuckle boxing, he came in drunk against Chris Lieben. It didn't go very well. He tried for a couple takedowns. You know, but who knows? I mean, Phil Baroni, if he connects, can knock out anybody.
Yeah, that's true. He's never lost the first round.
And he says he's 700-0 in street fights. So
yeah, he's got more street fights than me.
Yeah. So, and also on that card, Hector Lombard is fighting Kendall Grove in bare knuckle boxing.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, on that same card.
Wow, are these guys getting paid in bare knuckle boxing? What is going on here?
And then also, Ween Dog is fighting Vince Pichel in bare knuckle boxing.
Shut up. Okay, yeah.
Don't bet on me. If you guys are gamblers, do not put any bets on me at all.
I don't think anybody would.
I'll definitely put all my money on me.
I'll be a plus 4 billion underdog.
I'll take a dive and we can both make some money.
Hey, all right, let's do it, dude. I'm down.
Have you ever considered that or no?
No, I would never do that. That's not worth it. That's not worth the loss and pride and the kind of shit you'd have to deal with for the rest of your life.
So Costa versus Adesanya, I can't wait for that fight. That, you know.
I want to see that too.
If Israel messes up Costa, then he might be the GOAT. I mean, you look at – because he's just running through him. Well, his last fight wasn't that great, and Gastelum almost beat him. So, but he's – I mean, they're not giving him any easy fights.
Yeah.
Adesanya. Nah,
Well, and honestly, he probably shouldn't have any easy fights. All he does is talk shit, right? And he does what he does. He beat Anderson Silva. So how do you like take a step backwards from that, right?
Well, yeah, he backs it up, but he beat an old guy. But the thing is, he's not dominating though. Like, he's winning fights, but yeah, the last fight he actually, I mean, the Whitaker fight was awful. That was probably the worst fight I've seen in a long time. You know, yeah. They should waterboard people with that fight.
But he, but he is
what, he's a point you mean fighter. Romero.
Yeah, the Romero Whitaker fight was great.
Yeah.
Whitaker fight was great. He knocked out Whitaker. The Gastelum fight was great. The Romero fight was terrible. But now Romero is fighting Uriah Hall, which should be a good fight.
I'm gonna go for Uriah on that, but I don't think he'll be able to get past Romero. I think Romero might take that one easily.
You think so?
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, Uriah Hall's one of those guys that like loses the first two rounds every fight. Then all of a sudden wakes up and he's like, oh shit, I gotta win. Throws a flying knee from like, you know, left field and somehow takes it. But I don't know. You can't, you could do that against certain guys. You can't really do that against this Stylebender dude. By the way, and I met Stylebender in Vegas and he couldn't have been nicer. He was just a nice guy. Very humble, down to earth, was not. But by the way, it was funny. I was hanging out with Uriah Hall at the MMA Awards. And everyone and Stylebender won, but everyone kept congratulating Uriah Hall because they thought that he was Stylebender.
Oh, that's fucked up.
And it wasn't just like one person; it was like person after person. And he's like, "What did I win?" And I'm like, "I had to be the guy to break it to him." And it was just like, "Oh, he really wasn't laughing about it too much either. He was kind of like, oh, come on."
Yeah, it's kind of a kick in the dick too. I don't know. Even if that's fucked up. You know what's funny though is a long time ago when the UFC used to have the expos. I was doing an expo one time, and it was when Cub Swanson.
Oh yeah.
Seaver, and everyone thought I was Cub Swanson. So a bunch of people were coming up to me, and it was literally like 2 minutes after the fight, which there's no way he could have got from where he was to the MGM where I was right after the fight. They were like, "Damn, Cub, nice fight, bro. You fucking fucked up Seaver." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, bro. Can I get an autograph?" Sure. And I just signed it my name, right? And then they look at it and they just walk away. And I was like, "Say ya," and I just walk away, right? Like,
shit. Good.
You shit fan. You shit fan.
Good for that. Yeah, right. But yeah, a lot of people say you look like Cub Swanson.
Yeah, yeah. We do look alike.
So this week, before we get to Gilbert Burns, we got Derek Brunson versus Edmund Shahbazyan.
I'm excited for that one.
Saturday night. I really hope that Brunson wins this fight. I mean, he's a guy that just – he always seems to fall short. Okay, always takes one step forward, two steps back. And I thought he won the Anderson Silva fight. And but man, he just, if he's smart, he's amazing. When he gets sloppy, it's rough. And that was the first fight where I was like a believer in Stylebender. Because when he fought Marvin Vittorosi or something, or Marvin Vittori, if I'm butchering it. I was like, ooh, I thought Marvin almost won that fight. I kind of think he still won that fight. And then he came back after that and just destroyed Derek Brunson. And Derek Brunson's like an all-American wrestler, like trains with John Jones. I mean, he's a good fighter.
He is a really good fighter. I think he's one of the underrated fighters in the UFC because of his kind of inconsistency.
Yeah. And then he was just acting like he was just going crazy in fights. He was just showing up and just throwing like, it was like world star fights. It was just, and you're like, what is he doing? There's no way he practiced like that. And it was working for him against certain guys, against Sam Alvey and other people like that. That crazy, that old guy from Australia. I always forget his name.
Dan Kelly.
Yeah. But then when he got to like, you know, Robert Whittaker, he just got murked. And then same thing with Israel Adesanya. Also on this card, Joanne Calderwood versus Jennifer Maia. Joanne Calderwood has the sexiest accent ever.
I know. I really love her accent. She's such a sweetheart too. I always see her as a guy.
And she's funny as hell. Like I remember John Wood when he got COVID. I was like, "Hey man, I hope you're okay." And he goes, "Hey man, make sure you make a joke about me, right?" People ask me to make jokes about him all the time. So I was like, John Wood got COVID. All his exes are worried he might live. So I put that on Instagram. And then JoJo, his girlfriend, right? There are too many to tag. Like, she's always shitting on him. Yeah. So, which is pretty cool. That's a cool girlfriend right there. You know, somebody.
Wait, is she dating him? Are they dating?
She's dating, and that's the coach.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know he's the coach. Yeah. I didn't know those two were dating. That's kind of funny.
No, I think it's good. I think he's actually faithful to her because he has to be around her all the time, and she can probably whoop his ass too. You know, I'll never forget one of the funniest stories ever was when John Wood was dating Tito Ortiz's girlfriend now, or his wife, Amber Nicole, beautiful ring girl, and they were dating, and I guess they were both cheating on each other, and yada, yada. It was a really, really messy breakup. And she went on Facebook and just did a fire sale of all his stuff. Like, hey, because they live together, and she was selling his couch and this and that. And Mike Pyle calls up John Wood. And he's like, dude, you better should go on Facebook. Your girlfriend's selling all your shit right now for like $5. And then John Wood's like, what? You got to do something. And he goes, I did. I bought your couch and I got your cabinet.
That's so like, funny.
So he said every time he comes to Mike Pyle, his best friend's house, he sees like half of his things like everywhere. Like that's fucking Mike Pyle. That sucks.
He didn't even give them back or try to sell them back?
I don't know, but that made me laugh like hard. So we're waiting for Gilbert Burns. I checked with him three times. Yesterday, I said, we're good for tomorrow, right? We're good. At 12:30, okay. Then I hit him up today. Hey, man, see you today. And then he texted me back 10 minutes ago. What time? Like this is – I hit him up five times saying I'm 12:30. So now he's like – I'm like now ready when you are.
AM or PM?
So we'll see if Gilbert Burns shows up. Last week he didn't show up.
Oh, you had him on for last week?
Yeah, and the week before. So he's
wasn't he having like technical difficulties?
No, he just ghosted me. I keep getting ghosted by this guy, but he likes all my posts. So that's where I'm like, he like retweets my jokes and everything. And I'm like, you know, this guy's the number one fighter in the world right now. He's ranked number one. He's fighting for the title next. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. I actually want to talk to him. His brother follows me too, Herbert. And I'm like, hey, you want to be on the show? And he said, yeah, let's do it. And then the show comes. I get Vince to do it. You didn't know if you could do it. Wean Dogs only came on because Vince was talking shit about him.
Yeah.
And then this guy doesn't fucking show up. Welcome to my world, people. Okay. This is what I got to deal with. Every fucking yesterday, you should have seen what happened yesterday. Fucking my co-host, unnamed, fucking cancels a minute before, and I had to just do a 45 minutes with an interview that was scheduled for 10. It was a great interview. The dude is a stud, Rufian Stotts. I was happy, but I was like, damn, you know, I get it. Look, and people have lives, and right now it's a really – like right now during the pandemic, it's easier to get sometimes good guests because everyone's home. But people are going through some really tough times right now, you know, especially with unemployment being canceled, people not fighting, people not working, people not knowing about their future. So,
yeah, you know, there's a lot of shit going on right now in the world that is kind of fucked up.
You think? People want to fight the governor.
I want to beat that dude, Josh. Fuck Newsom.
And some people tell me they're other people tell me that they're unsubscribing to the show if I have Shang on. I'm like,
why?
They're like, because he's a liberal. They think he doesn't know much about. Listen, you know about MMA. I'm like, look, Shang's a friend of mine. He's a hilarious comic. I also could give you four fucking podcasts this week. One of them had Shang. Don't unsubscribe because you like listen to the other three. It's like, and yeah, not everyone.
That's fucked up.
And look, Shang's a good dude. He's a good guy, and you know.
That's along the lines of the cancel culture bullshit, and I don't really agree with that. Even if you fucking hate someone, like that's kind of fucked up.
But there's also he's also not on a lot of the other podcasts. So, all right. So, whatever. It's just one of those things where, like,
I don't get why people have to, like, they feel the need to, like, put that in the comments. Like, I'm going to unsubscribe if you keep having this guest on. Or, like, just keep that to yourself and unsubscribe, you fuck.
We're giving you free content.
Yeah.
Free. It's like somebody coming to your house, eating your food, and then go, I'm not eating here anymore. Like, dude, you came over. Like, I'm letting you eat. Like, whatever. It is what it is, man. People just – it's a weird time. Even Alyssa Milano today, I put on – she puts on Twitter. God.
Don't get me started on that dumb cunt.
She puts on Twitter, I can't believe Joe Rogan has three times the audience that I have in my podcast. And I'm like, dude, Rogan's been doing this for 8 fucking years. He's had everyone from Bernie Sanders to fucking Elon Musk to – I mean, he just gets everybody. He gets comics.
I can't believe she's even trying to compare herself to Joe Rogan.
It's like, you showed up yesterday and you can't believe that he has, like, what? That's like me fucking going to a basketball court and being like, I can't believe LeBron James is better than me at fucking basketball. Like what? Like,
wow.
What fucking world are we living in?
She is fucking stupid. I dislike and don't even respect her at all or anything she says.
Well, I know some personal stuff from her family members that hate her because she was supposed to do a charity and wouldn't do it for her own family members, but did it for somebody else. And her immediate family. That's the thing about, man, like, that's the thing that, like, I think bothers people the most about what's going on in the world is the hypocrisy of, like, some of these actors or comedians or athletes that tell you how you should live.
Yeah. And then when you, like, it's honestly just the hypocrisy. Like, that's the thing that bothers me the most is how they fucking talk shit about stuff and then they'll talk shit about the shit and then they'll turn around and do the fucking, and then do the opposite of what they say, right? Or they'll just double standard themselves. There's so many double standards going on.
Like, yeah. Dr. Fauci, that cocksucker.
Yeah, fuck that piece of shit too. That guy can't even throw a baseball. I didn't even call him a man.
Beta.
He can't even throw a fucking baseball 30 yards or however fuck that is, 60 yards.
Well, 50 Cent can't throw a baseball either though. Is he a man?
Who can't?
50 Cent.
50 Cent can't throw a baseball? That's kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah. He was actually worse than Fauci. It was pretty.
Oh, he's, yeah, 50 Cent, you're kind of a pussy too then, bro.
I don't understand. Like, you know you're throwing a baseball. Like, why not practice or just don't do it? I mean, what? That's like.
I guess it is kind of far, right? And people think, people maybe get misled by it because pitchers fucking huck it and just goes, it just bolts right to it, right? And I think they just misjudge it.
Yeah, but like, why not actually like practice beforehand? And if you know, right? I mean, let's.
I mean, Fauci should have practiced it because he's a withered old man. You're right, but 50 right. Cent, I don't know what his excuse is. I can't think of an excuse for him, honestly.
All right, so Bobby Green versus Lando Venata.
It's a great fight.
Ooh, that's gonna be a good fight.
Bobby Green lands the most significant curses per fighter.
yeah, Bobby.
I like Bobby Green. That guy seemed like he came from hell. As far as like. His brother was killed in a gang murder or something, or he got shot. And
yeah,
like dude just has.
He's had a lot of diversity in his life.
Yeah,
a lot of fucked up shit happened to him and his family.
So I hope
he's actually a really cool dude too. I really like Bobby a lot.
And then Randy Brown, you're taking on Vicente Luque.
This is the fire of the night right here, dude.
Ooh, Vicente Luque is that boxer dude, right?
He's the guy that lost to Wonder Boy, but he beat Mike Perry. He beat a bunch of guys.
Okay, I'm thinking of someone else.
He put Mike Perry's nose on the other side of his face.
Yeah, yeah, he was the one that.
Oh, it was that guy?
Yeah. He's very, very technical.
By the way, Mike Perry's girlfriend / trainer is now pregnant.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Two days before that, his ex-girlfriend said that he should be Me Too'd because he was threatening to burn down the house with the dogs in it and all kinds of stuff. This dude like needs a reality show immediately. You talk about a train wreck that people would want to see. And look, if Mike Perry stays in the gym and works out and works hard, he's got a future. But fuck, man, downtime is not that guy's friend.
Well, Mike Perry needs a fucking coach because I don't think he really has coaching. He just kind of goes in and fights and does his own thing.
Yeah,
which actually works very well for him, right? Because Mike Perry is a fighter. That dude is a fighter. He was born to fight, and so it works very well for him. But I think if he had a good coach or someone that he could just kind of take his dick out of his hand and not be so cocky with it, you know, he probably has some good coaching and do much much better than he is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he beat freaking Mickey Gall. Poor Mickey Gall. Damn.
Yeah.
Mickey Gall, like.
I was not expecting Perry to be able to out-grapple Mickey Gall like that. I was not expecting that.
I don't, man, maybe it's one of those things where, like, The Contender is a good series, but, like, it seems like it's doing more bad. Like, guys aren't ready, it seems like, with The Contender. It seems like they get called up really quick. And
Sophie, I don't want kids.
What?
My chat's telling me I need to fucking have kids now.
I mean, it
would be a great dad.
I would be a great dad, but I don't know if I want to raise a kid in this fucked up world the way it is, right?
You got to move out of California. I think that's what you got to do.
I am going to move out of California, actually. I was kind of waiting until after fighting because of my coaches. Mm-hmm. But the more that this shit kind of hits the fan the way it is, I'm thinking I honestly might have to just fucking skip out ahead. And,
where would you go? What state would you go to?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know where I'd go. I know what states potentially I'd want to live in, but I don't know those states that I want to live in aren't good for training and for fighting. So that's why I'm like, I have to do it when I'm done fighting, right? Because I don't really know. I don't know what state would be good for me in that aspect to move to while I'm still fighting.
I got you.
That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about.
All right. Well, let's break it down, Vince. Florida has American top team in the Black Zillions. I think you'd be good in Florida. They have no rules there.
I'd probably like Florida. It's a wild place. That's the only place in the world where you honestly don't know if the news headlines are real or not.
You hear about that guy that like took $4 million from the government and bought a Lamborghini?
What? How'd he get $4 million?
So you know how like they give like $30,000 or $50,000 to everybody that has a small business and they give money for the employee? So he claimed he had like 50 businesses. And he ended up getting like $4 million. And
wow.
And he went out and bought a Lamborghini for $500,000. And then he would have got away with it almost, but I guess his girlfriend and him broke up and she reported him.
Oh, that bitch. Why wouldn't she just ask for a Lamborghini?
I don't know. So then now he's like, fuck.
Why you gotta snitch?
I mean, yeah, another guy got $1 million from the government and then went to Vegas and gambled it all. The guy with the $4 million is crazy.
Honestly, I don't blame those guys. I blame the dumbass government officials who fucking let that shit slide. Like, that falls on them. They're the fucking idiots.
Come on, you don't blame the guy taking out $4 million and buying a Lamborghini?
No, because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying in this life, man. And everyone's out to fucking get ahead, right? So, like, it's the government's fault for giving them the fucking money and not fact-checking this shit. Like, how can they not know this guy doesn't own that many fucking businesses? How can you think someone owns enough businesses to give them $50,000 for each business to add up to $4 million? You know how many businesses that is? That's 20 times four. That's 80. That's, oh my God, that's 80 businesses. Who owns 80 fucking businesses? Who can do that? I don't know any billionaire that owns 80 businesses, man. That's crazy.
But you don't put the blame on that guy at all?
I mean, a little bit, because he's a fucking asshole, but...
So this guy goes to trial, and you're jury number one.
Let me give you an example of why I don't blame him as much as I blame the government. And this is why. So I've actually had a similar experience. Well, I haven't had a similar experience, but a friend has a similar experience with this. So my friend used to work at a bank. She used to work at Washington Mutual before Chase bought it and yada, yada. Anyway, there's a small business out here who I actually really love because they have the best breakfast burritos. But they went into the bank one day, and this guy went there to cash a self-written $25,000 or $30,000 check. Well, the businesses have to go through a certain time frame before the bank can actually let any of that money go because they have to make sure the check's legal and yada yada whatnot. So anyway, he tells my friend who works at the bank, hey, listen, I really need to pay my employees. I have no money in my account. Like this, I was been waiting for this check for a long time, yada yada. So she okays the check. Turns out it was a fucking bank check. This guy took the fucking money. The guy never got in trouble at all. His business is still fucking running. This is over like 10 years ago. His business is still running. My friend lost her job, could never work in a fucking bank again. She was like a manager of the bank. She lost her job, right? So it all fell on her, not the fucking asshole that wrote that fake check. So, like, you can't really blame a criminal.
That guy didn't get in trouble at all?
No, not at all. His business is still there running.
Isn't that a crime trying to cash a fake check?
It is, but she was dumb enough to allow that check to go through. So she kind of, you know what I mean? Like, all the responsibility fell on her because had she had followed protocol, it would have never happened in the first place. So that's why I say it's
not. That guy had a good lawyer because
it's. No, he didn't have a lawyer. He didn't need a lawyer. He didn't need a lawyer. Yeah, he didn't need a lawyer.
This story sounds a little fishy.
Yeah, it's fucked up, but it's loopholes in the laws, right? It's this like laws.
Well, I mean, look, this guy, obviously he's gonna probably do some time for this. I mean,
the good thing is
he only spent $500,000. He still had $3.5 million.
I would have spent so much more.
Really?
Yeah, fuck yeah, bro. Lamborghini, maybe bought a house or two, gave it to one of my friends, my family.
I think the smartest thing would just to like convert it to cash and then go bury it in the desert like Breaking Bad, no?
I mean, maybe so you might get buried with it, though.
Wait, that's the smartest thing? You don't think the smartest thing to do would be leave the country go to like South America and or somewhere and just live off that money the rest of your life?
That's probably, you know, the John McAfee way. Yeah, I'd probably do that. That's true.
What's the John McAfee way? What's that?
Oh, he's like a billionaire dude or a multimillionaire dude who created McAfee antivirus, and now he lives in like Belize or some shit, like having Filipino girls shit on his chest.
Fucking Ween Dog.
He's a crate. He's like
Ween Dog's perfect life.
But that's a perfect life to have Filipino girls shit on your chest.
It's true too. He's also
a hot plate special.
He's been accused of murder, but. You know, but he's living the best life in wherever he's living now, in the jungle somewhere with a bunch of Taiwanese Filipino girls shitting in his mouth, which is true, 100% true.
How do you know that's true, that they're shitting in his mouth?
Because they did a documentary about it. And they had these girls, like, yeah, he paid them a lot of money. You know, these girls.
Was it on Netflix?
They live in a fucking, you know, a teepee and shit. So when this millionaire dude offers them like $50, you know, shit on their chest, they're going to do it. No big deal. That's like $50 is like $200,000 here.
But you saw in the documentary the girl shitting on his chest?
No, they don't. They talk about their experiences with him. This is anecdotal from the girls. Wow. There's no video proof, but they're all telling the same story, you know. He's a dirty freak. I respect him.
Do they have to be Filipino?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. They didn't go into too much details, but they were all like Filipino women, pretty much.
You respect him. Yeah. Well, listen, people. Okay, now's before we go on, I got to talk to you guys about the final 22 teams have made their way down to Orlando and are ready to get back on the court. While the ending of this year's basketball season is different than most, okay, don't worry. There's no shortage of excitement and no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Woo-hoo. Yes, my wife, my daughter is very excited about this. Now, the return of basketball. Okay, DraftKings will have not one, but two $1 million prizes through the first 2 days of the resume season. So get into the action. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is very easy to play, Vince. Pick eight players.
I actually use DraftKings myself sometimes. I do use DraftKings.
Pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. All right? No better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test. Compete for a shot at $1 million. But if basketball's not for you, don't worry. There's fantasy golf this week as well. And with millions of dollars up for grabs this week, no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Call to action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code ROASTED to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code ROASTED to get a free shot at millions of dollars with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Disclaimer.
Now, I don't know where Gilbert Burns. We did the whole podcast. I mean, look, obviously, Vince, you're my guy, okay? You want to do a podcast, anytime we'll do a podcast. Sorry to say that you were having a hard time. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I do worry a little bit about you. Because
I'm not having a hard time.
Not a hard time, but I could tell you're itching to fight.
I am. I'm really itching to fight, and I haven't gotten a fight, and I've been kind of pushing for it. I told them, give me a short notice fight. I don't give a fuck. All I need is 2 weeks to make weight, or 1 week and then fight week, right, to make weight.
And your record is 10-2?
12-2.
12-2. I mean, that's a record and a half. 12.
Yeah, but I've been out for a year, and you know what I mean? Like, that's just what I normally do. I disappear for a little bit, then I come back.
But you've won four to let your last five. I mean, okay, Gilbert Burns is actually showing up.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh,
shit.
This is crazy. This actually is happening. The world, let's see. There he is. Wow. Gilbert Burns. He's sideways, but that's okay.
It's all good.
He's actually here. Gilbert, I did not think Gilbert? You were coming. We've asked you 4 weeks in a row to come. You're finally here. How are you, man?
I'm good. I just got Vicente Luque. He was just here. I said, bro, I got to interview these guys now. Let me go. And then he just left. So, yeah, we're good.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you very much. Now, you're a guy, man. You are awesome fighter. You got you're 18-3. You twisted more joints than the Diaz brothers. Okay.
Put together.
You got more subs than Kelvin Gastelum's fridge. All right.
Oh, my God.
But now you recently got COVID.
Yes.
Now, what was that like for you?
Yeah, that was bad for a couple of days. And I got fever and chills for like 2 days. Very bad, very, very bad. And but after 2 days, I was fine. I just had a strong headache. and I couldn't smell nothing, couldn't taste nothing. Now I'm feeling a lot better. I got last week, I got one negative test, and today I got the results from yesterday's test, negative again. But the only thing that is not back, I cannot smell nothing still.
Well, it looks like you've been tasting a lot based on your belly right now.
I'm big right now.
I honestly don't know how you used to make fucking 55, bro. I have no idea how you used to make 55.
That was hard. That was crazy. Horrible.
But I got to say, though, like he brings that up. You know, a lot of times people go up a weight class and they don't have the same power they had when they go up. You've been knocking people out at 70. Do you think how do we able to maintain your power at 70 versus 55?
That was easy. I keep my speed, I think, from the lightweight. I still have my quick hands, and I bring a lot more power now to 170. And I felt better. I think for sure. That weight cut to 155 was hurting a lot of my performance. And as soon as I stopped doing that, I just felt a lot better, you know. And my performance speaks to itself. Even the training, everything, going through a camp. Before, I used to run every other day, a month away from the fight. And when I was 4 weeks to the fight, I got to run or do a cardio every single day, like no days off. Now having days off, you know, training, my performance, it's way better now.
Well, yeah,
Did you have like a nutritionist and stuff too for your diet and whatnot to help you make the weight, or was it just like you were working yourself to the bone to get 55?
No, I do. I have a good one that was doing 55, and he was the one that said, "Hey, we done doing 55, no more. Let's try 170. I'm gonna make you very strong. You're gonna feel good at 170." And he was the guy, Marcelo Ferro. He's a Brazilian guy. He lives in Florida, and he was the one that like, "Hey, we're not doing 55, not with me. If you want to do it, you do it. I'm out." That's the last time we did 55, and after that, we started doing 170, and it felt great.
Now, your last fight with Woodley was amazing. You dropped Woodley in the first. You think he wasn't expecting how hard you hit?
Yeah, I don't think so. The way I approached the fight, I know how hard he hits, you know, how powerful he is. We had a strategy to just go forward, stay on his face, you know, kind of embrace the storm a little bit, you know, put pressure, you know, and mix things up. But I saw in his eyes that he wanted to try to bully me, you know. I can feel that, oh, he's going to come. Okay, and then see, if he's coming, I'm coming too, you know. I'm just going to take my head away, I'm going to throw. Let's see, you know, and then I connected, he went down, and I think that changed a lot of ways the fight. And then I started controlling a lot more the fight, and then he was very frustrated. I could feel that. And that's how the fight started. And soon, since that, I was just controlling most of the fight. But, yeah, hit him hard a couple times, you know, not just in the first round. But even to the last round, I think it knocked him down the fourth or the fifth round. So that's how good I felt in 170, because I can carry that power through the last rounds. You know, my cardio and everything, I felt great at 170.
Well, I mean, I was really happy for you. You're a really good guy. You're a role model. You came from nothing. I mean, you know, yeah. you were in Brazil and your dad was fixing someone's car and said, I'll give you a free, I'll fix the car for free if you give jiu-jitsu lessons to me, you and your brother. And then you become a world champion. That's amazing. Now, Woodley did say that you have more power than Usman. He said that if it goes to the ground, you're going to win. But he said you actually hit harder than Usman. Now, you called Usman out. Was it awkward in camp after that?
A little bit. It was awkward because I liked the guy. We had a good relationship. But come on, I've just been the number one contender. What's next? Next for the title. And I know he's very professional. I am too. So, come on. It was a little awkward. But as soon as I beat the Woodley, the way I beat, there's no other way for the title. And come on, I call him out. And then he already had plans to go to Colorado. That was not in the news yet. It was not in the media. But we knew that he wanted to do his next camp there, even if it wasn't me, if it was Edwards or Masvidal, he wants to do his camp over there. So, okay, that was a great moment. I said, let's go, you know.
Now, I heard, which I'm making this up, but I heard I heard that you got the best of him in sparring, that you beat him up in training camp a lot, which is why you called him out. Is this true?
It was a lot of back and forth with that guy. He's a freaking monster in the gym, you know. And I like to train with him a lot, you know. He will always give me good rounds. And towards the end, we didn't spar that much towards this year because I spar him to help him to Kobe. And when we help, like when I help each, when we help each other, it's no ego. It's nothing on that. I make Kobe, you know, I watch a couple of videos, okay, I'm going to make Kobe for you and whatever, you know, I want you to do good. And then he did Demi Meyer for me. That was the last sparring. In the last, very last sparring session that we did, he did Woodley for me. So he don't really did Kamaru,
yeah.
You know, when we spar. So that was the last sparring session that we had, but was always a war. I never had an easy round with Kamaru.
When he did Woodley for you, did he start rapping and stuff or no? Was he rapping for you when he was doing
on the beginning? Then he stopped. I think I heard that he wasn't in a good place after the fight, you know. And I have a couple of in common friends that they say, bro, the guy is not in a good place. Please don't do any more memes or nothing. I said, no, I'm good. You know, we already fought. I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah, right. You're not that kind of guy. Now, Kobe calls you Dilbert. He says,
why?
He says,
why? He's your guy. You might know why. You never asked
him. He calls you Dilbert. He says he has no idea who you are. What's going on with that?
He for sure he knows who I am, you know. And I know Kobe for a long time. He fought a couple of my teammates in Florida before UFC on the Tough House Black Jillians against ATT. He knows me. And even we have a lot of common friends as well, too. I know what he's training right now. I know he's doing a lot of MMA matches now. I know a lot of things from Kobe. He knows a lot of things. We're in a freaking Florida with a bunch of fighters, a lot of common friends. We go to a couple gyms that those guys train everywhere. He knows where. He knows exactly who I am.
All right. Now, it seems like you're trying to get – people are trying to, you know, pass you over. And but why are you not automatically the next title fight? It makes no sense why it wouldn't be you and Usman. I mean,
I am. I already. I have the text messages right here. Dana said I'm next. Kamaru knows already. We're waiting for a date for November or maybe or probably December. That's what I think. And I am. I just like to play around with these guys. Edward is talking shit. I was just, you know, doing little back and forth with these guys, but I'm next, hands down next. I'm not taking no other fight than fight for the title.
I was honestly super excited for you guys to fight Fight Island. I was fucking waiting for that shit, man. And then you got man. I was feeling hurt for you,
me
man.
Too.
I was like,
And I got freaking here in Vegas with all my corners and everything, and that freaking virus is just confusing. It's just freaking. Yeah. Because I was here with one of my coaches, Wagner Rocha, and my brother. And the other coach came after, Greg Jones. So I was here, me and my brother. I was with a lot of headache. That was the only symptoms that I have, a lot of headache. But I thought it was the hard last sparring session that I had. I said, fuck, that little headache is fucking annoying. And we got here. We did a little cardio. We relaxed. And then me and my brother in the room, we saw a couple of floor grappling videos, a couple of guys grappling. And I liked the technique. And I was, hey, come here. Let me try that shit right here. We tried. We kind of grapple here a little bit on the carpet. And when we did the test, I was freaking grappling with my brother. I test positive. He motherfucker test negative. All my coach test positive. And I say, man, how the fuck that guy is negative? He was rolling with me here on the carpet. And when we got back home, I would start feeling very sick when I came back. Like I said, 2 days I had very strong fever. I had so many chills that I put the temperature normal at home is like, it's freaking Florida. So 69 and 70, Florida is freaking hot. So I put that temperature at 75. And it was so hot at home and I have covers, I have hoodies and everything. And I was fucking shaking for 2 days. And I called my brother and said, motherfucker, you have that shit too. Might do another test. And then he did another test and it's still negative. So that shit is so confusing that I have no idea. Like, he wasn't wearing a mask as we were rolling. So that shit is so confusing. But it was heartbreaking. I got here in Vegas. and he attached positive, but it is what it is now. I was excited for that fight too, as even as a fan, for sure the hype with Masvidal was way bigger. I fucking understand. I don't give a shit. But as a fighting style and a matchup, man, it will be a crazy fight. Me and Kamaru, and I can't wait.
Now, your brother kind of looks like you. Could he have just said he was you? And went.
No, he's a fucking 45er. He's so skinny. He couldn't. No.
Your brother's doing really good. Now, Nate Diaz took a shot at you for no reason. And then you said, I will beat up Nate Diaz with the coronavirus.
Right now.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I thought that tweet was good. I saw that.
What does Nate want from you?
They say they don't know me, but they calling me out. They say my name. They call me a different name. Everyone knows who I am. They know what I'm capable of, especially with no crazy weight cut. They know. If they want the smoke, they just ask for it. They all can get it. Kobe, Nate, I, my grapples are high level. I have my two toys right here. I'm a problem for a lot of guys on that division. They just don't realize, because the way I beat these guys in the freaking pandemic going away is just, I don't think they realize, but they're going to realize it pretty soon. I can do a lot of damage on that division, and that's what I'm going to do next.
Were you surprised about the Masvidal fight, how that went down?
Not really. I knew Kamaru would. I even give a couple interviews that I know. I say I'm not going to throw water on the fire. You know, I don't want to fuck up the show, but it's going to be a boring-ass fight. Kamaru is going to control Masvidal. Masvidal is dangerous. I know the boxing guy that he trains, the place that he goes, his hands are quick. People don't realize how quick his hand is. He hits hard. And Kamaru knows that dangerous, and he's just going to freaking wrestle that guy through 25 minutes and wrestle the way Masvidal was not able. Even fucking, okay, give you 2 months, you get full training camp. For sure, you're going to be a little different, but the results will be the same. Kamaru is going to find a way to fucking wrestle this guy and, you know, in holding him for 25 minutes. I kind of knew will be on that way because, like I said, I trained Kamaru so many times. I know what he can do with the guy that is not a grappler, you know?
Totally, totally. Now, you know what I like about you, man? I watched a bunch of your fights last night. There were so many guys that you fought that you had them out, and you just, like, one guy went lit. The guy Moret, you crushed him. And a couple other guys, you knock him out, but you stopped. You didn't – a lot of guys keep punching. You know, you're very respectful. I thought I give you a lot of credit for that.
Oh, thank you. Because, fuck, the guy's out already. What should I do more? You know, fuck, I'm a fighter too. I might be in that position one day. And then, fuck, like, I think the thing that I see is we have the same dream, but we're fucking fighting for it. And I still want to give you a chance to fight for that dream. You know, I respect you, your family, your fucking parents watching your fights at home. Maybe wife or girlfriends or even kids. Why am I going to do an extra damage? The guy's already out. My goal when I get an octagon is to freaking knock you out or submit you or dominate you. And I'm happy with that. Even if you have even some beef or something personal, I'm happy with just doing that. Make you tap, submit you, like knock you out. That's it. It's done. It's over. You know, I don't want to take more things away from your life. That sport's very hard that we do. We sacrifice a lot. And I don't want to take nothing more away that I'm already taking. You know, the guy was already out. Like, a couple fights. Demo Ray, if I'm not wrong, Jason Sago, even Demian Maia. After those guys was out, man, I don't want to do no extra damage, you know? And,
yeah, I thought that really shows a lot of class on your part, man. I really respect that. Yeah.
And sometimes the fighters had to do that because sometimes the referee, they not in the right time, in the right position, you know? I think I could go even maybe 2-3 more punches on that guy, Morel, the other guy. And I think sometimes we got to be more aware of the weapons that we have, you know, the damage that we can make. And thankfully, nobody dies yet in the ring. But if guys keep doing like that and the heifer's doing sometimes a horrible job that they're doing, like I watched the fight last time,
Herb Dean,
last Saturday. and I saw Dane Hart going crazy on Herb Dean, and I kind of like Herb Dean, but man, sometimes they gotta do a better job, you know. They playing with fighters, and with, you know, like, it's not an easy job that we have, and we have the referee. The referee's there for a couple of little things to stop the fight, to start the fight, and to save the guys, you know. And sometimes they don't do it. It's just, you know, it's hard on us, you know.
Yeah. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. Who do you like?
I like Tyson, bro. It's fucking
losing money. Let's go.
Fucking lose money if you bet against Tyson. You know, for, I don't want to lose money for sure.
Even though he hasn't fought in 25 years, it still doesn't matter.
Yeah, you saw those clips, the way he was hitting pads with Rafael Cordero. Yeah,
if he hits, sure, if he hits Roy Tyson. Jones, he's gonna break his fucking neck, dude. If he lands a shot on Roy Jones, he's probably gonna break his neck.
It's Mike Tyson and fucking Francis Ngannou. You cannot bet against these guys. The one shot is over.
Stipe versus DC. Who wins this one?
Oh, that one's tough. I want DC to win. DC is my guy, but fucking Stipe is a monster. So I go more towards DC, but it will be a tough one.
Okay. All right. I like that one. That's another good pick. This week, do we like Edmund? Or Derek Brunson?
Derek Brunson, he's training with us. The guy's been looking good, and he's training with me. The guy's training with me. I said, no, I got the other guy. Hell no, I got my guy, you know?
Yeah, that makes total sense. What's his name? Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson.
Who the fuck is this guy? Say it again.
Nate Robinson, he's a three-time slam dunk winner. All right, forget that. Phil Baroni versus Thiago Alves, bare knuckle boxing.
Fuck, for sure, Thiago Alves. Phil Baroni is what, 46? Yeah. Maybe 48? Yeah, I don't know. No, for sure, Thiago Alves on this one. And I'm pretty sure they don't test on that shit. They do?
Yeah, no, they don't test. Nah,
fucking Thiago is going to be that freaking Thiago, you know.
I think so, too.
He's going to fucking kill this guy.
Hector Lombard versus Kendall Grove, bare-knuckle boxing.
That's a good one. I like that. Kendall Grove, very good. But freaking Hector, if they don't test, that motherfucker. That's because people used to say TRT Vitor, but it's a fucking TRT Lombard. He's scary too, bro.
Yeah, Lombard's scary by himself. Imagine on TRT.
Yeah, he's already scared on the freaking TRT. Fuck, man, no, for sure.
Now, by the way, I know Vitor Belfort's a training partner, but he's back on TRT, right? I mean,
he's fucking, I don't know what he's taking, but he's looking a fucking animal right now, bro. he's back. Yeah.
Now, are you guys training together? Are you guys sparring?
Yeah, we're training together. Yeah. We spar. I'm being honest with you. I spar with two friends. He's like one of my mentors. He brought me to MMA. I was cornering him in the beginning when he fought Rockhold, when he fought Bisping, when he fought Weidman. I was on his corner, helping him on his jiu-jitsu. That's how I get to MMA. So he's still one of my mentors. We talk, when I have a fight, I call him, hey, what do you think about this fight? What should I do? We talk a lot. Maybe yesterday, I think we got 30 minutes on the phone. But I really spoiled him the first day that he was back at the gym. That I think he was back on the stuff. You know, he was getting back. I spoiled good with him. Like, hey, I got the better of Vito that day. And then the stuff started working more. And then the fucking guy was getting big. And he was looking good. And then I'm like, you know what? And then he started calling me out because I get a better of him. And then he said, hey, let's sport today. I said, no, I'm fighting fucking Damian Maia. Why am I going to sport you? No, I'm going to sport this guy.
Oh,
and next fight. And then he started calling me out every sporting session. And then, you know. And they said, hey, I'm fighting Tyron Woodley. You fucking southpaw. Tyron Woodley, Orthodox. No, I'm not.
And I'm
fucking running away from him because he wanted to get that one better. Not you right now. He's fucking looking. Hey, he's looking good, bro. Like fucking 44, if I'm not wrong. He turned 44 in April.
Yeah.
He's fucking jackal right now.
I know. I mean, it's just, I'm like, fuck. So he's fighting in a Ryzen? Is that what he's doing?
he's fighting on the one championship. He's fighting against that, how you call that guy? That black dude that, you know who he's fighting. You know this guy.
Oh, I can pull it up.
Yeah, he's looking like a freaking gymnastic with a freaking, you don't know who I'm talking about? The black dude is freaking shred from Asia. Yeah, the world champion kickboxer.
Yeah, I know you're talking about Manhoof. Is it Manhoof?
No.
No.
Not Raymond. 10
times shredding this guy.
Fuck. Talk to me.
He's a weird name.
I'm looking for it.
I don't know where the fuck his name, but.
Oh, Alan, yeah, that's right. Alan, the guy that's super flexible when he does fucking backbends in the cage.
Yeah, when he goes to the cage, he do a fucking
Alan Galani or something.
Galani.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Can I share my screen and show you a picture of him?
Alan's a specimen. Straight, I'd test that motherfucker every day too.
Hold on, let's see it.
So this is him right here.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's the guy?
Yes, but this guy
is a fucking guy.
This guy's a fucking acrobat too. He gets in the cage, he does like back bends and he doesn't jump. He just bends over like with the stupidest of ease, man.
But he does kind of fucking bridge. He does a backflip but very slow. He kind of bridge and bring the freaking legs.
Yeah, his agility is fucking nuts.
And he's a 48, maybe 47 too. He's an older guy too, like.
How did man? That's crazy.
So we need a TAT visa to fight these guys. Huh? So for sure, ONE FC is not testing these guys, huh?
No, they're probably giving them stuff. You know,
how the fuck that guy passed on the test?
Yeah, right. All right. So Marlon Vera versus Sean O'Malley. Who is that one?
Ooh, that one's good. I like both guys. I'm not gonna pick on that one. I like both guys a lot. I hope a fight of the night on these guys. I hope they go crazy. Who you got on this one?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely – O'Malley hasn't been tested. Like, he's been tested, but not like this. This kid's in his prime, you know.
She took intake. I remember I was in Brazil. I don't know if I fought or if I was cornering. And I remember when Chito fought that small guy that goes crazy on the body.
Yeah,
John Lineker. Remember John Lineker?
Right. Yeah, John Lineker.
John Lineker, man, he couldn't take Chito away. Chito took a lot of shots from John Lineker, and he was dead. That went to decision. He lost, but was for decision. So he's very durable. I don't know. I don't want to pick because I literally like both guys a lot. I trained both before. I like both styles, both crazy guys. I'm not gonna pick on that one, but I hope freaking fight of the night war.
Will be. Frankie Edgar versus Pedro Munhoz.
Wow. I don't know how Frankie's going to look at 35, but Pedro Munhoz is a big 35er. He's a freaking monster right now. And I saw he was training. He was ready. He got the COVID too. I think I towards a little bit more for Pedro Munhoz on that one.
Yeah, he knocked out Cody Garbrandt, and then he lost to Aljamain. Yeah. I hope Frankie wins. Frankie needs this, man.
Kind of, me too. I like Pedro. I like Pedro, but yeah, I got you. I'm a fan of Frank too. Frank needs that win, so.
Yeah.
I think Pedro's gonna win. I go a little. I want Frankie, but I got Pedro on this one. I think.
And then who do you think, Vince?
Tough, huh?
I really like Frankie too, but
yeah,
I'm leaning more towards Pedro in this one.
Yep.
Yeah. I really do like Frankie, but I think Pedro might take that. It's gonna finally be a fucking good scrap though. It's definitely gonna be a good scrap.
Finally, Ricardo Lamas versus Ryan Hall.
Ooh. That's an interesting one.
I know Ricardo Lamas is saying no one knows about his grappling, but I don't know about it either. So that's how I don't know how to feel.
I grappled Ryan Hall, but that was freaking 10 years ago. We grappled 2010. I think Ricardo Lamas can for sure he can grapple enough to don't get caught on the heel hooks. And I got Ricardo Lamas on that one. He's a vet, you know. He has a good jiu-jitsu guy that hits gene. I got Lamas on this one.
Were you surprised that Gastelum got caught in the hook?
Man, not really. After I saw Jack Hammerson, the way he beat Jacare, yeah, no. He took Jacare down. Jacare couldn't take him down. He was handled Jacare very good on jiu-jitsu. No, Jack Hammerson is man, the guy's dangerous. He's been hungry. He's been doing good. And he tried that a couple times before, and then eventually he got in a freaking heel hook. If you got a good, you know, if you can get on that position very good, it's very hard for the guy's cape, and all you tap or that fucking position, you can pop your knee very bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Jack Hammerson is.
I think Kelvin should go to 170. I'm sorry, I like Kelvin, but
those guys. Yeah, I'm just not saying that much because I'm a 170. I don't want those freaking guys coming back. I have a lot of problems here already. But yeah, I agree. You know, I think, and the other thing too, I think is the motivation that he has right now is not as the best. If you think about it, he's supposed to fight Robert Whittaker in Australia, if I'm not wrong. So he went all the way there, and the freaking fight got canceled. And then Adesanya beats Anderson Silva, get the shot, and then I think he went to a vacation. And if I'm not wrong, he was in the vacation. They call him, "Hey, you fight Adesanya now at this day." And then fuck, you gotta get out of the vacation. I don't know. It's a couple of things that happened in the moment that is just hard. That the guy was getting ready to fight Robert Whittaker for a couple months, go out there, make the weight, ready to fight. Day of the fight, the guy pulled out. So you need a rest. You just did a freaking training camp for five-minute rounds. So you go to your vacation, you know, that you deserve. And then they call you, you're fighting that motherfucker now that's even harder than the one that you were fighting. And you have no vacation, you got back from training camp without resting. And then he go to a war with Adesanya, he lost.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll give you a guarantee that's there's a guy that's just like you. He couldn't make 170. He's a big. I don't think he performed well in that fight. And then another loss to Jack Hammerson. I think he's just in a tough spot right now that he needs, you know, get that motivation back. I kind of understand. There's a lot of frustration to don't fight for the title. Then when you have the opportunity that you fight, then you lost. And then try to get back, you lost again. Then you try to get back, you lost again. It's just hard, you know. And then I kind of like Kelvin Gastelum a lot, but he's just in a tough spot right now.
And then last one, Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa.
Man, fuck, that one's going to – I hope that one goes to a freaking decision or at least goes to a 3-4 rounds. But I got to go with my guy Costa, you know. I got to go with Brazil on this one, but – I'm not gonna put money on that. So I don't put money against Tyson. I don't put money against Francis Ngannou. I don't put money against Adesanya. You know, those guys are just different. You know.
Have you trained with Costa?
Back in the days when I was coaching Vitor, when Ryan they stopped the TRT, Vitor supposed to fight Weidman, and he bring Costa to help him sparring, but then the fight got canceled because he stopped the treatment, and then he got to go out of the treatment. He couldn't, you know, he had no energy back then. But I remember Costa was there for a month or so. We were training a little bit. The guy was a beast back then. He was already like, I remember that he fell in love with boxing back there, and every day he was freaking shadow boxing the weights, and he sparred Rumble. He sparred Rumble back then. Good sparring session with Anthony Johnson. He sparred everybody. I remember he was going hard back then.
Is Rumble coming back?
Yeah, he's coming back for sure. He was freaking that Tuesday when I sparred. Tuesday was my first day back on sparring. I'm freaking out of shape. And I just sparred two guys that were okay. And last round was Michael Chandler that he's fighting next week, Ben Henderson. And that's it. I was done. No cardio. That shit plays hard with my cardio. I have no cardio right now. It doesn't matter how heavy I used to get. Yeah. I always have a good cardio. Right now, I have no cardio. That freaking COVID-19 killed my cardio. And after I was done, three rounds, I was out. I want to puke. I was like, fuck, I'm done. Anthony Johnson looked at me and said, "Can you give me a round?" I said,
"Oh, come on."
Fuck you, dude.
Hell no. I'm out. I'm done. Took the gloves out.
Oh, hell no, I'm not fucking
Anthony Johnson. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's just, is Johnson, because I remember he was at like 270, he was huge. What's he at now?
No, he's back, he might be 230, 220, maybe. He's shred now, he's even, to be honest, even more scary because that motherfucker now is. He's back, you know. He's not that big monster that
yeah,
you know, now he's all fucking juiced up.
Yeah, now he's shredding like fuck. I don't want to fight these guys. Like,
oh my god,
yeah.
I met Anthony Johnson one time at some fights, and I was like, Anthony, let me get a photo with you. And he was like, hurry up. I was like, yes, sir. And I took the picture and just fucking ran off. I was like, fuck that, dude, he's gonna eat me.
Now, were you there when Johnson was there and like Overeem was there and Rashad?
Yeah.
They all hated
him,
and they didn't like Overeem.
I was there. That was the first day when I got on the Black Zealand's first day. That was, I think, I don't know the day, but Usman was there when he had no fights. And Rashad, that was – the heavyweights were scary. Remember Guru Inocente, that guy that fights on Glory? He fought for the title on Glory.
Yeah, yeah.
So Guru Inocente, Tyron Spong, Rashad Evans – Alistair Overeem, TRT Vitor, freaking, man, we had more guys. Freaking Matt Mitrione. Man, that was nasty, those guys.
Stefan Struve, right?
Stefan Struve, a lot of guys that sometimes they spar with small gloves.
And you had to go in there with them? You had to spar with those guys?
No. They have the heavyweight sparring. After that was our sparring, but wow. And that was how I became a fan of coaching Henry Hoof. That was when I became a fan. Like, because as soon as I got there, Henry was traveling with some fighters. So he fought. He traveled when I got there. Wednesday, Monday, he wasn't there. He wasn't there for the week. And then I was training with another striking coach that was there. So on the next week, Henry came back. He was the head coach, but he wasn't there the week that I got there. So it's kind of different. And the week that he came back, freaking Monday was the sparring. Oh. And I was there. And I saw those heavyweight sparring, big gloves on this day, only kickboxing. On the end, it was a lot of more MMA and grappling. And I saw him sparring with freaking TRT Overeem, like that big one. And I was like, who's that guy? And the guy, oh, that's the coach. That's Henry. And I was watching Henry just fucking bang with the guy and throws knee. And Overeem, I think they have a little beef because Tyron, he was in the corner of Tyron Spong like a year ago when they fought for the K-1 finals. And Overeem was trying to knock him out. And then he was fucking knee Overeem. And he was fucking 40-something. He was getting tired. And when the round was off, he was doing good. For sure, he got tired. But he was doing very technical, very good. And I was like, man, that fucking coach is a freaking different level. And boom, round was over and Overeem. Henry, let's go one more. And Henry was fucking tired. And then he just turned off. Yeah, let's go. And you can see he was fucking tired. Just give me water. He got water. He tried to rest up a little bit and was going like very slow to put the timer back again, taking his time. And then he went back. He sparred Overeem another round and then he sparred good. Even he was tired. Throwing knees and beat the shit of Overeem. Towards the end, Overeem was getting the round back, you know, because Henry was fucking getting tired. And then I was like, man, fuck that. That's guy gonna be my coach. I don't give a fuck. And then I start talking with him. He don't even know me. My English was very bad back then. And they say, I like you. I like your training. They say, yeah, who the fuck are you? I say, no, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. I came with Vitor. You know, I'm gonna stay here. How many fights you have? And then I think I have 3 or 4 fights. Oh, I'm 3-0, but I'm jiu-jitsu world champion. Ah, you do those shit that you hugging the other guy and say, yeah, I'm world champion. And then I just saw the guy freaking say, yeah, I want to train with you. And then like, who the fuck's this guy? You know, and then after he saw me training, then I was cornering Vito. He was in the corner. And then that's how we started the relationship. And then I started training with Harry. And That was seen, you know, but that. I like
awesome.
That was the way I saw, like, man, that's the coach, and he fucking beat Overeem, beating these guys. Yeah. Fuck yeah, I want to learn from these guys. I was just like, man, that guy's a different level, you know.
Fuck yeah, Well, listen, Gilbert, man, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm a fan for life. I can't wait for your next fight. Get that title, man.
I will, brother. I will.
I'm going to be in your corner. Anything you want to say, Vince or Ween?
No, I'll say something. I'll say something. Kamaru Usman is known to be a very unentertaining fighter. He's very, very boring. A lot of the fans don't like his fight style. What are you going to do to make this an exciting fight?
I'm just going to do a lot of things that we should do in the training. And my game complements a lot of wrestling guys. Like, I can submit a lot of wrestling guys. I can wrestle my way up. And I can strike and choose. So, man, I can't wait. It's going to be a freaking exciting fight, you know. Like,
I'm excited.
We're going to work. And I'm fucking excited for this fight because I'm just going to say that it's not going to be nice for me to say a lot of things from training, even that the training was a lot of back and forth. I can't say, I beat him up. No, we beat each other up and we make each other better on the train. That was even our philosophy. We're going to beat each other up and we're going to make each other better. That was our thing. But if we do half that we did on the train, it's going to be a freaking fight of the night for sure. You know, half that we did. Because we used to have an insane training sessions. We have a couple of clips that on Instagram, if you go on the old Black Zena's IG and take a look, we're going to see we sparring. And that shit was fun. Like 30 seconds sparring, then we're fucking going, throwing hammers, big gloves, trying to knock each other hard. And then we start grappling, wrestle. So if it goes half of that, people are going to have fucking so much fun. And I can't wait for this fight. I believe it's going to be a crazy fight.
I'm excited, bro.
Yeah, I'm excited for that fight, too. I think it's going to be a good fight. I'm happy for you, brother.
Well, thank you, guys. That's our podcast. This was awesome. God bless. Thanks, Gilbert. Thank you, Vince.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ween Dog.
Pleasure,
thank you,
brother.
Thank you. Oh, Ween Dog, before we leave, take care, Gilbert.
Also, wait, before we leave, I also have to say something.
No, Gilbert, you're good.
You're good. Sorry.
Later, Gilbert. Have a good one, brother.
I do have to say something and address to Vince and the fans of MMA Roasted and everybody watching this live on Vince's Twitch stream. I do have to say something. You know, at the beginning of this podcast, it got a little heated. You know, there's a little bit of an argument going on between me and Vince. I gotta do what's right with, deep down in me. I gotta become a man someday. So I think this is a good step in doing this. And I have to confess that I did go in Vince's chat and try to steal his viewers. I have to. I can't live with this. I can't just end the podcast and then live with this on my conscience for the rest of my life. And I do apologize sincerely.
Listen, man, it wasn't that big of a deal. That's why, like, I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it was. But you honestly made me mad when you're trying to fucking deny and make me.
I know. I apologize, and I did not really mean to. I didn't intend to actually steal your viewers. I just, you know, it was very sarcastic. A sarcastic gesture that I did, and I know it was very dickish. And I know you probably shouldn't do that in the Twitch community. So I apologize sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Please don't beat the shit out of me.
Brother. Honestly, just thank you for admitting it, okay? Because dude, it made me really mad that the way you're fucking playing this out, bro. You made me so mad.
So if anybody else wants to steal your viewers, where do they go, Vince?
It's not about stealing viewers either, right? I'm more than happy to tell people like to follow this man. Like I was doing that when you're in my stream before, right? I'm like, that's Ween Dog. He's the guy on the podcast. Make sure you guys fucking follow this guy. And I'm sure some of them follow you, right? Like,
yeah.
That's how my people are. My crowd is a small, loyal crowd. And that's the kind of crowds that I like. So I wasn't like super upset. That's why I was like, motherfucker, right? Like, don't fucking do that shit. Like, that's the kind of shit that fake friends do, right? On Twitch. So it's all good, man. I got a lot of heart for you. Thank you for fucking apologizing and admitting it. Like, much more respect to you now for that, right?
Thank
like,
you very much. And I'm sorry again.
Thank you guys. Have a good one. Fucker.